To the KGVM 95.9 FM community, we're on the air again with the Health and Happiness program. Thank you for listening. I am Dr. Arliss Wood with Dr. Suzanne Wood, a psychologist and speech-language pathologist, respectively. Our presentations emphasize areas of health and happiness that are pertinent, especially in the areas of mental health. We thank the Montana Psychological Association Public Education Committee for their support. Now Dr. Suzanne introduces the program.
2 million new cases of cancer are expected this year in America. Montana will have 7,560 of them, according to recent statistics. And we're all very worried and concerned about this disease. And we should each remain vigilant and know the symptoms and be aware. We have with us today a person who has been exceptionally helpful in sharing her journey with cancer. We have Grace Martinez. Grace is going to take us along with her on her journey with cancer. Thankfully, she is now at a destination point. And we want to just thank you for coming and joining us in this issue that concerns every person in Montana, Grace. Welcome.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to share.
Well, maybe we should start with, if you don't mind, your age right now.
I am 37 years old.
She looks about 23, everyone. Okay, so how long ago did you find out that this was happening?
I was diagnosed on April 29th of 2025.
Just recently, okay. And so kind of tell us how that happened, how you heard and what your response was, and give us a little feedback for those who might hear this same diagnosis.
I had received a mammogram and then a biopsy, and it popped up on my chart so I could read it, and I kind of realized immediately by reading that it was a cancer diagnosis. Shortly thereafter, I received a phone call, and she just kind of launched right into a very long conversation of what the standard protocol was, what the next year of my life was going to look like, in quite some detail. And I just sat there in the parking lot of McDonald's listening to her tell me that with this cancer, it's a very aggressive cancer, being triple HER2 triple positive, and that on their scale, I can't remember the wording of it, but in my head, I translated it to be on the bad scale of things, that it was a 9 out of 9 for being aggressive, and that the standard protocol would be to do 2 types of chemo, as well as 2 types of targeted therapies, Herceptin and Perjeta. And that this was the very aggressive kind of chemo, that I would become sick and I would lose my hair, but they would give me steroids. So the first couple of days I would feel okay, and then I would crash after that for at least 3 days. Probably feel better after that. It would involve being in the hospital for about 3 days in a row of receiving infusions and things like that. And so I just listened to this long conversation where she continued that after 6 cycles of this every 21 days, that I would then have surgery, followed by continued targeted therapy of the Herceptin and the Perjeta with possible radiation and things like that afterwards. I remained calm through this whole conversation, but in my head I was like, I can't bring myself to sign up for that. I live alone. I own my own home. I take care of myself doing everything. I work on my own cars. I work on my own house. I can't sign up to be in the hospital for a certain amount of days and to be sick and have to ask for that much help from other people. It's not how I want to live my life. I like to travel. I like to take off at a moment's notice to go ride my Jeep in the mountains. I can't sign up for that. So in the back of my head, I was like, I can find a way. And it was a very determined feeling in my head that I would find another way. And after hanging up, sitting there in the parking lot, I texted one friend who immediately started doing research too with alongside me and sent me suggestions of what they found. I Googled a naturopath oncologist and had an appointment lined up with them pretty quickly. And I told two friends that day who were very supportive off the bat and immediately jumping in that they would help me. But I still decided along this way that I couldn't do the standard protocol. And it led to my first appointment with my medical oncologist. And she told me, again, this plan. And I was like, let's get you scheduled immediately in the next few days. They wanted me to sign up for chemo the next few days. And I was like, nope, I made an appointment with natural health oncologist. I'm still doing my research. I need to understand. Well, what else do you need to understand? What questions can I answer? Let's get you scheduled. Nope, sorry, I need to do my research first. And I got kind of, well, are you refusing treatment? What are you doing? And I was like, I just need a minute here. Because along with being told all this, I was also getting an array of different MRIs, different CT scans, and I am not a person who likes to be touched that much, and I'm an introvert, and that was very overstimulated, and I was overtouched and talked to way too many people. But I did stand my ground, and I end up not even deciding treatment for an entire month after that first appointment.
And tell me again, what was their diagnosis at that point?
HER2 triple positive, and at first they said stage 2 until my second appointment because they got back my other results and discovered that I had a tumor on my liver that had also lit up on the PET scan as an SUV about 12 or 13, and it was about 2.7 by 2.8 centimeters, but just the fact of having a tumor in another spot puts me to stage 4. I end up not having a biopsy to confirm that, though, because of the fact that I would have had been sedated, and I didn't even want to be sedated for, even lightly sedated for that. So even though they already told me I was basically incurable because of the fact that I had another tumor, I don't know if I was technically put down in black and white as stage 4.
Let's all avoid McDonald's, everyone. No. Okay. Then up came your appointment with the naturopath.
Yes, I'm really grateful to find her. I did a simple Google search and read her reviews. I had a quick phone call before scheduling an appointment, and immediately off the bat, I realized she was up on these studies that I had already gotten a quick glance at. She up on these trials and studies as well. So I got immediately excited. Like, she knows these things. So we immediately scheduled an appointment, and I had told her I'd already cut out sugar and things like that.
So tell me the definition of a naturopath. What training did she have?
She's a naturopath oncologist, so ND. So she has comparable education to a medical doctor. It's more specialized for complementary treatments in line with standard cancer treatment as well as a little bit more knowledge as far as nutrition. Medical doctors tend to only receive here and there classes on nutrition that are part of larger classes. They don't have anything dedicated usually to nutrition. So they're a little bit more on nutrition of what you can eat to support cancer treatments and such.
So she was a different kind of medical personnel.
Yes.
Not a physician in the historic sense we think of, but with a lot of deep training about outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, keep going. Thank you.
Of course. And when I met with her, it was kind of just a general going over my ideas of what I had already researched, what I wanted to treat with. And she had some labs done, and we didn't discuss exactly what I would do or what I would decide to do until my second appointment with her. And she was actually quite frank, and she was like, technically, I don't have anything to reduce tumor burden for you. I can't do what chemo can do. She's like, I would still recommend that you do as they suggested. It's already in your lymph nodes and possibly other places at this point. So it's already in the, she described the lymph nodes as the highway to the body. So it can already be there. I don't know if she had seen my PET scan results yet. So it's already traveling. So we need, and it's aggressive because of the hormone component. So we need to address it in this way. And I was like, what about these different things that I've researched? She's like, but they're not technically FDA approved. They're not tested on solo in this kind of case. And that was the first time I cried since I got diagnosed, as I was sitting in her office and I started feeling my sense of control taken away. That is very important to me, of my self-determination of where my life goes and what happens. And so I cried for a few minutes and she was very supportive and amazing. And but that kind of like triggered back into me of, I need to be in control. And I stopped crying and I looked at her and I was like, will you try something else with me for a month or two? She looked at me and she said, if you're going to be serious about doing things and not say you're going to take some magic shake and, you know, smoothie or whatever and call it good, if you're going to be serious about doing these things and you agree to do regular imaging, then and you continue to work with a medical oncologist, I will work with you. And so she agreed. Getting my medical oncologist took a little bit more requesting, but she did end up agreeing as well.
Wow, you got him going. Okay. This is a very persuasive.
Are they local?
Yes. My medical oncologist is here at Bozeman Deaconess, and my naturopath oncologist is at Elevate Health here in Bozeman, and she's amazing.
You could say their names for us.
Oh, okay. Dr. Shank is my medical oncologist, and Dr. Noelle Butler is my naturopath oncologist.
Okay, thank you. Now, moving right along, you had to consult with both medical professionals. How did that go?
Well, once I had finished doing my research and established a well-rounded plan of the different things that I had, I narrowed it down basically to exactly what I wanted to do, and I had to keep it somewhat simple. Once I decided that, I also decided I was going to agree to do Herceptin, which is one of the targeted therapies they wanted to combine with everything.
What was that again?
Herceptin. The medical term is trastuzumab. Close enough in pronunciation. And this one has no technical long-term side effects. It can affect your heart, so you do have to have regular echoes with it. It can cause fatigue and a little bit of upset stomach. But technically no long-term side effects, and sounded a world away from chemo. So I agreed to do that one, and that was a infusion at the hospital every 21 days for not even 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And so I told my medical oncologist I would do the Herceptin combined with my alternative treatments, and she immediately scheduled an appointment the next day and said, because the fact that technically I would be stage 4, that the new standard protocol, or not new, but that would make the standard protocol to be a single agent of chemo and just the targeted immunotherapy or targeted therapy of Herceptin. But there is a movement in the medical field to still consider that as possibly curative. So they still wanted to go the aggressive route. And I said I was not okay with that. I wanted to do these treatments and the Herceptin. And she said, well, if you go that route in 2 months, it would be too late for even chemo or anybody to save you. And I was like, and I detailed out with her exactly what I want to do and the percentage of what I felt they could help based on the studies. She did quickly dismiss that, but she said, I will agree to this because technically, since you would be stage 4, we can call it palliative care, just maintenance care to kind of extend life. So I'll agree to just do the Herceptin in that case. I mean, it's your body, your choice, and I want you to be happy. I'm like, okay, I guess if that's the way you're going to agree to it, then let's do this.
Call it what you wish. We're going to go with the natural method.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so you were doing both at that time?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I was doing Herceptin, and my main alternative treatment is methylene blue and light therapy. I mostly based that off on the Dos Santos studies in 2017 and 2018, but there are numerous other studies, including some small human trials for like oral and skin and colon cancers, and has a very high successful rate in those small studies. So that was my main treatment, along with ivermectin, which has been used in cancer studies as well to help increase the effectiveness of other treatments, as well as help block blood vessels, growth to tumors, and even cause apoptosis, programmed cell death in cancer cells. So I was started taking a daily dose of that, as well as my naturopath oncologist suggested IV vitamin C, high dose, because that can help increase the effectiveness of the other treatments.
So two questions come up. Tell us about light therapy, what that involves, and tell us what is a large dose of vitamin C. Yeah. Is that two pills instead of one? I don't think so. So kind of describe those two aspects of what you were planning and doing.
Sure. Okay, so the methylene blue and light therapy, it's shown in the studies that taking methylene blue, it's once it circulates in the body, it's more attracted to abnormal cells because of its damaged mitochondria. So it's sucked up into those, and then it reacts to light therapy, red light particularly, at 660 nanometers, and kind of causes a burst in these cells to kill them off. And it starts a ROS program that in about 24 hours, it can have an 87% kill rate in breast cancer cells. And it's interesting reading these studies because it's not the standard apoptosis that other things like the standard programmed cell death. They don't know exactly how this works, but it's basically like a reaction with the light in the methylene blue that kind of causes kind of an explosive sort of effect.
So the light is actually a chemical reaction? Or, okay, not a big bright light shining down upon you.
Well, it's a red light therapy, so it's like uses a red light panel that does 660 nanometers.
Okay.
And then you can also use near-infrared with it as well, and which helps with scar tissue and everything and healing it. And then for the IV vitamin C, it's actually given intravenously. So it's 75 grams. And in the studies, it's about 75 grams to 100 grams that they use to treat with cancer. It can help along with chemo to help the effects of chemo as well as help quality of life against the symptoms in chemo.
So did you go to the naturopath's office for the red light therapy?
No, I actually bought a panel so I could do it at home. And I made sure that it did all the appropriate nanometers as well as high quality irradiance so it could go under the skin. And I literally took this panel because light can only penetrate so deep into the body. So right against my skin, exactly where the tumors were, I pressed it in so it could have exactly targeted against the tumors. And the IV vitamin C was a referral to a clinic in town that does it, actually in Belgrade. And they would do that about two times a week.
At this point, could you describe how this was impacting your mental and emotional health? And what was your well-being? How were you hanging on to keeping up, keeping on?
I'm a person who meditates a lot and focuses on my energy and what I take in and what I put out. So I honestly never had like a full-on breakdown from this. I very much had become to the conclusion that life works out in my favor. No matter what it looks like at any given point in time, and I'm going to forget who that quote is by, but no matter how it looks at any given point in time, everything is always working out for me in my favor. And so I said, if I believe that, then this could be no different. The situation could be no different than anything else that happens in my life. And in part of that, because I had love meditation, I got even deeper into that. And I was already following Joe Dispenza. And immediately after I got diagnosed, I actually booked a week-long retreat with him. So I got to do extended meditations in his retreat classes.
Whose name was that again?
Joe Dispenza?
And he's a meditation guru sort of what?
Yeah, he's kind of a meditation guru. And
is he local?
No, he is not. He's kind of worldwide. So I flew to Denver for this one.
Okay.
But yes, I very much focus on my meditation. And part of that, I didn't actually tell a lot of people about my diagnosis. I think I told a couple of close friends and one or two family members, and that was it, because I didn't want their energy influencing what I was feeling, what was going on. So it took me quite a while before I told other people, before I felt solid in that energy.
Would you recommend that to others facing the same difficulties?
I think your mental state and your mental health has a lot to do with health and health outcomes. To a certain extent, your body only knows what your brain tells it to. So if you're going to believe in what you're doing, I think you're also going to open up more opportunities. Believing in myself and my potential to do this is gave me the confidence to decide to do this. If I wasn't in that state, I would have been too afraid to go against what doctors said to take a chance on myself.
I have to ask this because I hear horror stories about insurance. How do you pay for this?
The alternative things are not covered by insurance.
Yeah.
So everything with the hospital is covered, but my naturopath oncologist, luckily, is just a monthly membership, and then I can see her and talk to her as much as I want. Yeah. The high-dose IV vitamin C, and also I started doing ozone therapy at the same clinic, those are the most expensive things. The 75 grams is about $300 per session. Ozone therapy is $180 per session. For the light therapy and the methylene blue, thankfully, those are a lot less because I bought my on-home machine, so that was about $380 for just a one-time. And then the methylene blue, I buy a $30 bottle every couple of 2 to 3 months, really. And the other things I do is follow a diet by Dr. William Lee. So that doesn't necessarily cost a little bit more, except for groceries are expensive. And then I also use phototherapy patches to stimulate stem cell growth, as well as activate dormant genes and work with inflammation. So those are also fairly expensive as well. So going the alternative route is expensive, unfortunately, and that's one thing that I would like to help bring attention to these alternative treatments, because I think if we can research them and give them more legitimacy and the attention that they deserve, that we can have them perhaps covered by insurance.
And so how were you interacting all this time with your medical oncologist? Because you said that you needed to work with both.
Yes. And because of the fact that she agreed to, you know, work with me and do more frequent images, that I decided to keep going with her because I felt like I didn't have to really fight to do this with her, and I didn't want to fight, and so I was like, I felt okay to keep going with her. And it the first CT scan into treatment was scheduled about 2 months after that last appointment with her, and it was probably about 6 weeks of doing everything that I had put together. And on that first CT scan, my liver lesion was 84% gone. My lymph nodes were all normal sized. And my two breast tumors, and the largest one had gone down quite a bit as well. So she was okay to keep going. She didn't give me one word to suggest altering at all. She's just like, okay, let's keep doing what we're doing. She didn't entirely acknowledge that it might be due to other things. She just said, let's just keep doing what you're doing.
And what was her part of the treatment regimen? What did she provide?
Herceptin. So I had had, by the time of that 6 weeks, I had 2 rounds of Herceptin.
Again, how do you spell that?
Herceptin?
Yeah.
H-E-R-C-E-P-T-I-N.
Okay, it is a certain chemical medication.
It's a targeted therapy. So because of the fact that I was HER2 triple positive, it hits the HER2 receptors, or kind of like their down pathways, because of the fact that that influences growth so much. So it really helps slow it down, as well as it can contribute quite a bit to tumor reduction as well.
Was that a pill or?
That's an infusion at the hospital. So I would go to the hospital and have it intravenously.
And so 2 hours each time.
That's that treatment you told me.
Yeah, 2 hours total from getting in there. The infusion part itself probably takes like 20-30 minutes, yeah. But they don't mix it until you get there. Yeah. So it's usually about 2 hours.
What kind of side effects did you experience at that point?
Extreme exhaustion. Like, within about 3 or 4 hours, I felt so tired and my body felt so heavy. And it would extend until the next day, and my stomach would be quite a bit upset as well. So that's why I did discontinue it a while ago, too. Because it's like that didn't really fit in with the rest of my plan, where I was starting to feel so good, even more healthy than I had before, eating such incredible foods and things like that. I was feeling more healthy than I had ever felt before. So it's like this Herceptin doesn't really fit in with the rest of my plan.
Did you lose or gain weight?
I lost weight, actually, because I was eating extremely healthy with the Dr. William Lee's diet based on his book, Eat to Beat Disease. And I will rave about this book because I have literally learned so much. He is backed by Harvard and founded the Angiogenesis Foundation. So he focuses on foods that have been proven in large-scale studies to effectively not only activate the body's 5 defense systems, but actively fight diseases as well. For instance, I learned that soy is one of the best things you can eat when you have breast cancer.
Soy.
Mm-hmm. But most people have the old conception that it, you know, triggers hormones with being estrogen. But they don't really, it took them a while in studies to realize it's actually phytoestrogens, which is plant estrogens. So it blocks harmful human estrogens. It's actually like nature's tamoxifen. So it actually is proven to kill cancer stem cells. They did a large scale study, I believe it was in Shanghai with over 5,000 participants, and they discovered that when you eat a daily amount of soy, about 10 grams, it can reduce reoccurrence by 30% and also mortality by 30%. But so with eating all those good foods, I actually believe I lost about 40 pounds in the last 9 months since being diagnosed.
You take soy separately or in food? Or
typically, I eat soy.
Describe when you say soy. What form did that take? I mean, we're all familiar with certain soy things. Tell us how you achieved that and what exactly did you do with soy? How did that work out?
Usually daily I'll drink a little breakfast smoothie with soy milk and walnuts and flaxseed, as well as a little bit of honey in there. And then I'll also sometimes eat tofu for dinner, or edamame as a little snack. And it's actually more effective when it's fermented. So technically, you get a little bit more from the tofu than you do soy milk.
Mm-hmm. Go over the other healthy aspects of your diet. There are people out there right now listening to this. Kind of give them good clues as to what to do.
Yes, so the main focus of this diet is to activate your body's defenses, and you have 5 defense systems, which is angiogenesis, which is blood vessel growth, not only to healthy body cells, but you also want to block blood vessel growth to tumors. The next one is a gut microbiome, and so much of your health actually comes from your gut microbiome in there. And then I'm going to blank being on the spot. DNA protection. And that involves because your DNA can be affected by environmental things, processed food, things like that. So we want DNA protection. And also regeneration, which is stem cell growth. Let's see. I think I missed one there. I think that's only 4. let's see. So you got angiogenesis, regeneration, DNA protection, gut microbiome, and immunity. There's my 5th one. So he focuses on picking a food that activates each of those body defenses in a day. So you're trying to actively starve your tumors, but feeding your body and building up your body and your immunity and health. And that focuses on eating things that reduce inflammation, such as Gouda cheese, which is one of my favorites. Sourdough bread activates the gut microbiome.
So a grilled cheese sandwich on sourdough bread is one of the warriors in your fight.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice. Okay, keep going here. We've got tofu. We've got grilled cheese sandwich on sourdough bread.
Mm-hmm. Olive oil is also one of the best things you can eat. That does so many things and activates multiple parts of your body system, including inflammation. And it actually is also proven to kill cancer stem cells. So I cook a lot of like tomatoes in there and mushrooms in there because those are other two good things. Tomatoes have the lycopene in their skin, so that activates a couple body's defense systems as well. And mushrooms do a lot for you as well, whether it's shiitake, maitake, or just common mushrooms. Walnuts, which I put in my breakfast smoothie, that one directly kills cancer stem cells as well. And that one, I don't remember the details on that study, but that's a high percentage that it reduces reoccurrence as well. I think well over 30%. So this diet actually fits in really well, whether you're fighting cancer or other things, because it just builds up your body. And he focuses on, when he discusses the different studies, how they affect different diseases, or whether it's like diabetes or almost anything else.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Does exercise fit in here somewhere?
Yes.
I want to hang on to this discussion a minute longer to say I'm assuming there are lots of vegetables that go with that olive oil and with the tofu. I'm just trying to get a complete picture. Exercise is next, but eggs, you know, breakfast, or do you just do the shake? Keep going a little bit more for the people out there. This could really help.
So, for instance, eggs, they're good for you because they're protein, but they don't necessarily activate as much in the body's defense system. So it's not a main focus of this diet, but it's still good protein, and I love eggs. So I'll throw in like the mushrooms and the tomatoes with the eggs.
And cooked in olive oil. Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. But yes, I eat pretty much that smoothie every day. I also have ADHD, so I kind of hyperfixate, and I have to make it really simple for myself. So I do my breakfast smoothie every day, and then a lot of times it's just a simple edamame with orange and apples. Apples is another one that kills cancer stem cells, particularly Red Delicious and Granny Smith apples. And then my dinner is usually... it could be tofu, or I might do some salmon. Salmon is really good to work into your diet fish in general, about 2 to 3 times a week for the omega-3s. And saute my vegetables, including cruciferous vegetables. So like broccoli and cauliflower are really good for you.
That's what I was visualizing. Thank you so much for filling in all of the dietary thoughts. And liquids, any certain liquids, a lot of water, are there things you should avoid, like, you know, soda pops, you know, sugars?
I do pretty much avoid all sugars. I was actually really good about this even a year ago. I'd already cut out sodas except for like a treat when I go out to dinner kind of thing. So mostly I drink water, but also what I do drink every single day is green tea.
Oh.
The ECGC in there does so many things for your body. And like, so pretty much whatever disease you're dealing with or just want to maintain health or even help with weight, green tea is the go-to one, and it directly kills cancer stem cells as well. Mm-hmm. So I drink about 2 to 3 cups of that every single day. Coffee is activates some of the body's defenses as well, so a little bit of coffee is not bad for you at all. Let's see.
With soy milk. No. Or no milk. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, or no milk, because, yeah, I don't like the taste of it in there. Let's see what I was about to say.
Liquids.
Yes. Yeah. So the funny thing is, actually, there are good ingredients that activate body's defenses, even in wine. So moderation, I always say you shouldn't deny yourself. So, you know, moderation of things aren't bad, because you've got the resveratrol in wine that's good for you. Beer even has some anti-cancer properties, so an occasional beer isn't the worst thing. Mm-hmm. It's the alcohol in there that's not so great for you, but there are properties in beer that are anti-cancer. So I don't completely deny myself of these things. So occasional moderation in there. I did cut out sugar the day I was diagnosed, but again, you know, occasional month or so I'm craving something and I'm going to give in.
Yeah, but that's not a regular thing. You're not piling on the sugar.
No.
By any means.
Cancer cells have twice as many insulin receptors as regular cells, so they do grow pretty easily with sugar. That being said, cancer cells are very adaptable and they can reprogram themselves to eat off of other things. So that's why it's very, very important not only to cut out sugar, but to focus on particularly what you're eating, that it's still going to starve your cancer, but feed you.
Excellent presentation of what you did. And so we had this question from Arliss about what does exercise or activity level have to do here?
Exercise is very important. I believe I saw a stat that it can reduce reoccurrence by about 30%. I have not been that great about it. I used to be really good about waking up every day and working out every day, but life got a little bit busy when you have to do infusions and IV vitamin C and treatment for multiple days of the week, so I haven't been as good about getting that in. But I think I want to actively get that into my schedule once I settle things down to prevent reoccurrence.
And I think there could be, I would guess, a depression component of having cancer and being in treatments. So the exercise also, in a recent study as of just a couple of weeks ago, can be equally effective as medication in reducing depression. So exercise would have two purposes here, to help stimulate the good stuff going on, fighting the cancer cells, and to help reduce any depression or mental stress you might be feeling.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think exercise, you know, you get the endorphins from it, and just physically moving makes a huge difference to get out there and move more.
Do you have a regular job or profession, or because you have to spend so much time on this?
I flip cars and then also do drive for DoorDash a little bit.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That allows you to set your own schedule.
Yes, that way I can set my own schedule because it is a lot of sitting there for infusions. IV vitamin C, when you do 75 grams, it actually makes a difference between doing it for their recommended 3 hours and 4 hours, because it soaks the tumor in hydrogen peroxide to help kill more cancer cells if you do it for 4 hours as opposed to the standard of three. So that's time consuming. Ozone therapy usually takes about 1.5 to 2 hours. Light therapy, I will actually spend a lot of time on that because I'll do 10 to 30 minutes of each setting, and sometimes I'll do it even longer with the near infrared because it really helps to clear the scar tissue. And I discovered that because I just playing around with things a little bit too, because it hasn't really been done full scale like in humans get studies. So I discovered that near infrared can help more with that scar tissue. After my December 1st scan, my largest tumor was 2 centimeters, and I had been doing intensive with the light therapy and such leading up to that 3 weeks. So I was like, and it showed no change basically from the previous CT scan. And I was like, that's not right. I'll bet you anything that's mostly scar tissue. So I requested a PET scan. And then leading up to when I had the PET scan on January 5th, I used mostly near infrared. And that 2 centimeter tumor went down to 0.8 centimeters on the January 5th in a month's time. So I believe that I worked through a lot of that scar tissue, which is another reason I think that there needs to be so much more expert and research done into this to refine what I've done. Because I think if you could refine what I've done, that you could have shortened this time of the past 9 months by quite a bit. I think someone else could make a lot more progress.
Tell us about your online presence.
I started sharing my journey, TikTok mostly at first. I'm going to expand into YouTube. But it frustrated me to watch people go through the side effects of standard treatment and having to go through that when the past 9 months for me, I've only felt healthier and healthier. I've never really been sick. I've never really been in pain. And it's been time consuming. Yes, it's a lot that way. But like physically, I've been doing great, and I would like to share that with others, whether to work in more integrative treatments and to expand research into particularly like methylene blue and light therapy and do larger scale studies on using IV vitamin C and ozone therapy. Because their small scale studies have been super successful, but they're not receiving as much attention and funding as I believe they should be. So it's so important to bring for me to bring more attention and legitimacy to it. Mm-hmm. I also feel that the stereotype around people who choose to go the alternative route, which I'm discovering more and more by being online, people automatically hear that I said no to chemo, and they make some interesting comments of, well, don't you believe in science? Are you just okay with dying then? So I realize people automatically think that you're doing something mystical. You're drinking some smoothie and expecting to be saved. And but I do actually, I believe in science, and I believe it needs to advance, because science is only what we know to this point. We have to keep advancing. And cancer patients deserve so much more. They deserve better quality of life, because such things like IV vitamin C has been shown in studies to help not only increase the effectiveness of chemo, but also increase their quality of life to help with the side effects. So, and then to have to deal with doing surgery as well. Mastectomies, you know, it's commonplace to call it mastectomy, but honestly, it's an amputation, and I would like science to advance and help those women more. So that's not like an automatic solution.
Do you also have radiation?
No.
Okay.
Herceptin is literally the only conventional thing I've done. Okay. And I'm expected to be NED on my next scan on February 27th. And even then, with standard protocol, even once you're NED, you are supposed to have surgery. And they, you know, that way they can take samples, send them to the lab, and make sure that you're completely cancer-free. And I can't bring myself to do that. I couldn't even agree to be sedated lightly for liver biopsy. So in my plan, I'm not only once I have my CT scan that shows it's clear, then I'm going to have a PET scan to confirm no metabolic activity. But I also want to do a liquid biopsy where they can test for circulating tumor DNA. That can predict reoccurrence by about 3 to 8 months and ahead of like CT scans. I think with being HER2 triple positive, the sensitivity is about 67%. But to me, I think those are good enough odds that I'd like to go with that over surgery. Mm-hmm. But no radiation and no continued targeted therapy.
Do you have a full support system for you?
I have some really great friends.
Yeah.
That are always willing to be there and help. I'm not always great at telling them when I need help or anything like that. I'm very much an introvert, and I will hide in my house and not talk to anybody while I figure things out.
Are you in any kind of group?
I didn't end up going to like their cancer support groups because it just ended up being too much. I felt like I was having to be everywhere all the time.
Yeah, and so many things. Yeah.
But a good dinner with my friends is great. Yeah. I'll be like, I need dinner.
And I thought for the people in the audience who are wondering, how would I know if I had this illness? I thought I'd go over the breast cancer symptoms, but I'd also point out, if you have any of these things, you need to go check with a doctor, whichever choice of protocol you wish. But other people might have breast cancer and not have any of these, and also regular medical checkups might discover it. But here are some things, if you're just out there, these are things that might tell you to get someone to look at it. So if you have a lump in your breast or under your arm, or if you have swelling of the breast, any skin irritation or dimpling of the breast, if you should have nipple pain or nipple turning inward, any redness or scaling or thickening, particularly with the nipple. Also, if you have a nipple discharge, other than breast milk, of course, then that should be a concern, or any change in the size or shape of a breast. And let us point out, my mother-in-law had breast cancer with none of these symptoms, and she did recover completely, lived for many more years. So, but if you have any of those things, that would be a clue you need to take some steps.
Absolutely. It's better to get ahead of it and know exactly what's going on in your body. people have questioned why I do regular imaging if I'm concerned about radiation, but it's so important to know what's going on in your body, because you have control, you can take control of your body and your health, but you have to be aware of what's going on in it.
Did you discover it, or did someone else discover it?
I did. I felt a lump in my breast, mm-hmm. so I asked my regular doctor to look at it, and mm-hmm. then she immediately scheduled a mm-hmm. mammogram, and immediately followed pretty much the next day by a biopsy.
Good.
So it was pretty easy for you to tell that there was something unusual. It wasn't difficult. Did you do breast exams, or did it just become so apparent that you noticed it?
Yeah, I could just feel it with my hand pretty easily against the chest wall. I didn't really feel any other symptoms besides that. I mean, looking back, maybe I got a little bit more tired than I should mm-hmm. in early afternoons. But that's the only thing I really noticed until right after I got diagnosed. I did start to feel a strain where my lymph nodes were, and lymph nodes are in my armpit. Which can be a sign of it being, you know, active there. But once I started doing regular light therapy and I could feel the heat of the light penetrating, because I can feel the light therapy on my active cells, or at least I could when it was more active. And once I felt that deep penetration to my lymph nodes, I didn't feel that strain anymore.
So could you go over with this where the doctors and the naturopathic physician think you are now? What results have you gotten from this effort? You've gone over it as we spoke, but kind of sum it up for us, if you would.
So pretty much every CT scan, I had them about every 2 months spread apart, and they just kept steadily getting better and better until, like I said, my December 1st one showed basically being the same as the previous one. And I said, I don't think so, so please do a PET scan. And the PET scan showed that the one, my liver tumor was completely undetectable, which it had been undetectable for the last two CT scans, but no metabolic activity. And then my lymph nodes were not only normal size, but they went down to being about 2 involved out of an original 11 involved, as well as very much lowered metabolic activity. My two remaining breast tumors, the largest one went from the 2 centimeters to 0.8 centimeters. They didn't give me a new measurement for the smaller one, just that it was smaller than that. And their metabolic activity was reduced by about 35 and 40%. That was like a change in my medical oncologist, very much a change in her attitude, because she had still been almost downplaying my results leading up until then, and not super positive. And I noticed that she had put in my my medical notes when I requested the PET scan that it was out of concern for progression of disease, not to see. And so, but she had a turning point. She was very positive that time. Are you excited about your PET scans? And I was kind of surprised to get that reaction from her. And she didn't even have a word against when she's like, do you want to get back to Herceptin? Because I had already quit it a little bit before. And she's like, do you want to get back to it? No? Okay. And I told her I also did not want to do a surgery once I was NAD. Okay. And she was completely in agreement and still said she was happy to be on my team in whatever way that she could be, even if she wasn't providing anything, any more care at that point, to be honest. And so a naturopath oncologist was also very excited about these PET scan results. So at my last meeting with her, came up with the plan that with my next CT scan being February 27th and expecting it to be clean, then immediately requesting a PET scan to show zero metabolic activity, and then immediately requesting the liquid biopsy by Guardiant. And then considering myself NAD, and then shifting into a sustainable lifestyle built around preventing reoccurrence. And I already went over with her my ideas for preventing reoccurrence, and she thought they were great.
So your practitioners get along pretty well then?
They kind of work together, because she works, Dr. Butler works pretty closely with the oncology department, so they all knew who each other was. I don't know how often they really speak, but they do work together and know each other.
Do you think the methods that you've used would help other kinds of cancer, not just your type.
Absolutely, because as I said before, the methylene blue and light therapy have been showing promise in a huge variety mm-hmm. of cancers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the, what also the cool thing is, for particularly for breast cancer, it shows effectiveness not only in triple positive like mine, but almost even slightly better results in triple negative, which a lot of people, you know, because triple negative, you can't target it as much. That's why the Herceptin and the Perjeta that they wanted me to do, they can't add those things in currently for breast cancer patients.
Well, this has been really amazing to hear about. We're so happy for you. I mean, you're showing the physicians what to do. and that could help a lot of people, and you're not arbitrating against medical science. You're saying, we use it all. We use everything. What I really appreciate, too, is that your daily life, and you'll get to exercise soon, but the regimen that you keep is very targeted, very intelligently to focus on those things that fight cancer and enhance cancer going away. So it's like you... or a project person, and instead of having despair take you out when this came up, you had a giant project, and boy, have you nailed it. So, wow.
What I find is that I think you're different than 99.7% of the people, is that you have, you're very intelligent, obviously, but you've become very well educated in an area that you've really done specific research, and this thing that most people won't do or can't do. And so I wonder, how could the information you have be more commonplace for people to make use of who are suffering but don't have the skills you have?
I just want to, if I can, bring attention to what I'm doing in a very simplified way. Yeah. And I've tried to do that with the way that I'm sharing on TikTok. I try to keep it very simply to basically the 7 total things that I've done to treat my cancer. Mm-hmm. And not focusing on, a lot of people make suggestions, oh, well, add in EZIT, add in apricot coronal. They'll go down the whole list. And I'm like, I need to be able to focus on, and I need to keep it simple. Making the focus of planning a treatment like this is that you have to have something to reduce tumor burden. It can't just be some things that are good at fighting cancer. It's got to be an aggressive way to reduce the size of your actual tumors. And that's what that's why I kind of planned it around the methylene blue and the light therapy, because it had such high success in the trials. And then adding in the support. So everything I planned has a synergy with each other. So it all increases the effectiveness of things. For example, the ivermectin takes cold tumors and turns them into hot tumors, meaning in opening up for T cells in them, so that can help the effect of the other treatments. IV vitamin C and ozone also help affect the effectiveness of everything else, including increasing the effectiveness of the Herceptin, and the Herceptin also worked well with everything else. So it's meant to be synergy.
I was wondering, in your research, had you found that your life made you any more vulnerable to cancer, exposure to carcinogens or genetics? Were you any more vulnerable than anybody else?
I'm really not sure. I know that I had grandmother, at least on one side, maybe possibly on both sides, that have had breast cancer. But I know there are just so much in our modern lives that can affect it. Everything from processed foods can help damage our DNA. So when your body is making, all the billions of cells, it's going to make a mistake, and things like processed foods and other things in our environment can affect that. So there's just millions of ways that you can actually have cancer.
Just pollution, who knows, all those kinds of things around mm-hmm. us. I know Suzanne was exposed to radiation from atomic testing in Utah near Las Vegas when she was growing up. And it may have affected her in some ways.
And it also a nuclear meltdown in Japan When I was an adult, happened where they thought we might have had certain levels of radiation. So I'm with you that a fairly healthy lifestyle. We began exercising when we were older than you regularly. Actually did my first half marathon when I was 64. So, it was by accident. I was just trying to do a little 5K, got in the wrong lane. So you never know what you can do in terms of diet and exercise. But it makes so much sense to just simply change your lifestyle and do these things that are so nourishing to the healthy cells and that really fight the evil cells. And all of us, let's have a cup of green tea in a few minutes, and let's really rethink some of our life decisions. And there's one more thing that I just wanted to mention that makes it high risk. Ladies who've had breast implants have a higher risk. And so if you have that, you should pay particular attention to the signs and symptoms and having regular checkups with your doctors.
Absolutely.
We have about 3 or 4 minutes. Anything that we haven't gotten into, haven't asked you?
I do want to ask you, well, along with those final thoughts, to give your website, tell exactly how to reach you if people wanted to reach out, if you would.
Yes, my TikTok is at GraceMartinez_406.
Say that again more slowly.
GraceMartinez_406. And I love this community that I've kind of created on there, and I have people DMing me from all over the world, whether from Trinidad, Saudi Arabia, the UK, everywhere, asking for my advice. And of course, like, I'm not a medical expert to give out advice, but I'm so happy to share the things that I have done that has worked for me. And I try to break it down simply, like you were saying. I have playlists on the top of going into each treatment that I do. So I break it down of how I do it and the science behind it. So I like to bring all the research that I've done. I show all the studies for them, too, because I think that's very important to learn.
We know your father, who works here at KGVM, and he's very proud of you. He's mentioned that many times.
Well, as Rick said, when she was in preschool, they tested her, and she was in the top 7% of intellect nationally. So what we have here is a guru who's helping us all to see good health, whether we have cancer or not. These all make good sense for people to stay healthy and avoid illness, as well as to help treat that one.
Oh, absolutely. Whether you have active disease or not, you can take control of your body and where it goes.
One more time, the website, nice and slow.
Grace, GRACE, Martinez, MARTINEZ, _406. And that's my TikTok handle.
Is there any local place, maybe a commercial for someone here, where you go to get some of these things? I mean, you can check around at a grocery store, get many of them, but is there a place to go to get some of the things you should be eating, like in one place, a nutrition place, or anything like that?
I actually got asked this question recently, and I feel like I'll probably disappoint people because I just order my groceries to be delivered from Walmart because I've got a million different things going on.
They can look it up, yeah.
So, yeah, you can look it up on the website.
And you can find what you need that way.
Yeah, and I do recommend the book Eat to Beat Disease by Dr. William Lee so that you can... Eat to Beat Disease by Dr. William Lee.
William Lee, L-E-E.
L-I.
Just
L-I. L-I, yep.
Chinese person.
I think so. He went to Harvard here in the States.
Excellent. Mm-hmm.
Say that again, William Lee.
Dr. William Lee. He's the author of Eat to Beat Disease. And in this is book where I learned everything that I know about nutrition pretty much. And he puts the science in it.
We'd like to tell the audience to carefully consider what we've heard today because it sounds very fascinating. It has helped Grace Martinez to do a very, very positive job in curing herself or getting cured, working with others, eating right, exercising right, doing your own research. So whatever you have to do to overcome a disease, consider what she said and stay healthy as much as you can. And keep listening to Healthy and Happiness on KGVM 95.9 FM. Thank you.